God, love you call us to come before you with love in our hearts. We all have our own ideas and experiences of what love is, from the human to the divine, from the smallest flicker to the greatest flame. You are so much more than anything we could ever imagine. Abundant love flows from your very being. Your love is the greatest of all, and we bask now in that love. Lord, we confess that often we find it hard to love you and incredibly difficult to love other people. Don't recognize who our neighbor is, especially if we don't look and behave as we do. We have problems loving ourselves. Been taken in with the idea that love is about some dramatic gesture or action, when actually love often is a whole series of small things that look really rather mundane. Lord, our God, forgive us for those times when we have been unloving. Inspire us forgive us our failure to love, and let your love grow in us like a flame. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
I see these people that we've all been praying for.
Yeah.
That's another way. Okay. Only the one to be. Second. Is the Zoom working okay today?
Yes.
Can I just say, for those of you who are watching on Zoom, can I tell you that if you want to text me, I will make your input into the question that Ray is about to set us all.
Can everybody read? Can you read that?
Yeah.
Marathons.
Curry.
What do you think they are?
Food.
Maybe food, yes. maybe food, what they are, and maybe by not. Newcastle United as well. They are things particular to me that I love. What are things that you love? And then pretty sure I have anything to add. Flowers. Flowers, anything else? Dance. Anything like music? Do I hear music? And anything else? Anything? Pardon? Look what's with the rings.
Singing,
dance, music, singing. So what are all these things? What are they? Are they things that we deeply love? Are they celebrations? Are they things we actually say we like? Are they things that we say we like?
Jack says Lego.
Lego. Lego. Fantastic, Jack.
And Kathy Seymour says crunchy peanut butter. Crunchy. Sugin says England.
In Korea.
Yeah, he's in Korea. Sugin says England. That says he's missing us.
All right. Good to hear from you, Sugin. So, are they that important? Well, I think they are. They all make us what we are, things we like, we give our efforts to. But today we're going to talk about other things, more important things. But Jesus said, number one, we should give our love to.
Neighbor.
The first commandment, love your
neighbor.
Lord, your God.
Love your Lord, your God. And secondly, most importantly, is love your neighbor. And I'd just like to say, loving your neighbor, I don't think it's very kind, but somebody comes in wearing a horrible Chelsea top after what they did.
Enough already, thank you very much.
Anyway, this will be
the other thing is, you're all thinking marathons. What does that man run marathons? Why does he look like that is what modern people call Snickers. Still hasn't got his act together. You know what a Snickers bar is? Like a Mars bar. He doesn't call it a Snickers bar. In our house. Look it up in an encyclopedia.
Yes.
Right, we're going to sing Jesus Love is Very Wonderful with some action.
Just because we can.
Jesus, come. Thank you.
2 years. It's been a challenging week of reading for our chronicles. This book is going to be Deuteronomy to us. Deuteronomy means retelling or repeating of the law. And as we go through this passage, actually, before, on a day like today, there's not much on the telly. Deuteronomy is really good to read. I know you're all thinking, oh dear, she's gone off the edge. No, Deuteronomy is really good to read. It says that prayer is the foundation of everything. This book will read this passage. And I'm going to do that.
The reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. These are all the laws the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. Obey them in the land that you are about to enter and occupy. As long as you live, you and your descendants are to honor the Lord your God and obey all his laws that I have given you, so that you may live in that land a long time. Listen to them, people of Israel, and obey them. Then all will go well with you, and you will become a mighty nation and live in that rich and fertile land, just as the Lord, the God of our ancestors, as promised. Israel, remember this. The Lord and the Lord alone is our God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Never forget these commands that I have given you today. Teach them to your children. Repeat them when you are at home and when you are away, when you are resting and when you are working. Tie them on your arm and wear them on your forehead. Remind them. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Thank you, God.
My own video has something to do with the notice that actually come in front of the door. So they have a tiny scroll that may have a Roman Christian town, but this Jewish town that has got the notice board under there. Mark's Gospel, asking Jesus what is the most important commandment, and here he comes. He takes Deuteronomy, and he adds Leviticus, and Alan Roscott reads this passage to us.
I'm reading your name, Deuteronomy. The first commandment. One of the scribes came in and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing he asked them what. He asked him, which commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God, the Lord your heart, and with your soul, and the Lord your mind, and the Lord your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than you. Then the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher, you have truly said that. He is one who is lasting, there is no other. And the love him, no little part. With all the understanding and all the strength, and the loved one who is with him, everyone is love. This is more and more than all other brothers and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that the master wanted, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any questions.
The pain of your soul. The joy will let it. It's the hit of the happy hobo. What will it say? What will I learn? How would it be if I viewed every person that we met with the same joy and expectation? When I encounter you, what have you to teach me this day? And it's an unusual day when somebody says something that surprises us. And when the scribe walked up to Jesus, was he expecting to be surprised? Were the people around him expecting to be surprised? He was, though. The danger for many of us is that we have lost our delight and our ability to be shocked by the new. We are jaded. Our palate is dull. We have sorted out the world into like us, good, not like us, bad. People who talk sense and people who do not. But here is a story about someone who actually learned something. And maybe he has something to teach us. A message is all about love. What do you love? Who do you love? And before anybody thinks it and that I am implying and I am not, this is not a message for people who are coupled up and for people who have extended families. Love is not a narrow thing to be kept within tight familial bonds or the boundaries of friendship relationships. For Jesus, the person that we follow, the most important thing is to love God. To love God with all that we are. Our thinking selves, our passion, our determination, and to love with the deepest part of our soul. And then, says Jesus, to let it flow. To flow into encounters with people. To love your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Surely somebody who lives nearby, but not in these times. Our connectedness has never been more real. When I was a child, a long time ago, Michelle, when I was a child, I would hear my mother phoning up Scotland and spelling out the name of the town that she was calling her mother and my granny, B-E-I-T-H. She phoned up Scotland and had to do it through the operator. So the other day, I'm walking down to the church building as I do on Sunday, chatting to my mother on the phone. It's my usual pattern. How you doing, mother? Well, thank you for waking me, Leslie. Here we go. My usual pattern. And she says, "Oh, sorry, Leslie. I've got to go. There's a call coming in from Australia." Those are the times that we live in. We are more connected
than we have ever been. Who is my neighbour? The one with the water rising because of global warming and our consumption. And we are called to love them. To love God with our heart and soul and mind and strength. It's more than emotion that happens on a good day. It demands the will. It demands intention. I won't focus on that. I won't listen to that. I won't take the lazy view. There must be more to that story than that. I will not keep replaying over and over in my mind the story of hurt. Love demands effort. But Jesus, those who were most irritating to him were those who were closest to him, by which I mean the religious. And the vibe in this story is, here we go again, one of those arguments. Kicking up a stink for no other reason than they want to kick up a stink. And somebody wants to prove how clever they are, like we would do. And Jesus has been arguing with the Herodians, the Pharisees, and then the Sadducees, and here we go again. But that doesn't happen. Could it be that the person who came up to Jesus and asked the question, asked it, because he actually wanted to hear what Jesus had to say? Amazing, but true. And then it almost feels as though the scribe is swept away in a tide of emotion and sort of keeps talking to himself. And we can hear him, and he says, this is much more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus heard the scribe and says that the answer is wise. To admit that somebody that you are in dispute with is wise, that's beyond most of us too. The scribe is brave and speaks out for truth, even when he recognizes it in the unlikely person of Jesus, the opposition for his team. And it's a wise person that can acknowledge when truth is spoken by a different voice or accent. Let's be clear. For plenty of evangelical Christians, it would be a liberal one. And for many liberal Christians, it would be an evangelical. And what about the truth from somebody who says that they're an atheist, or somebody who's a follower of another faith like Islam, Muslim? Strangely, for some Christians, it's easier to believe truth from any other group than from somebody who comes from a different type of Christianity to them. The scribe recognizes truth and says so. And I wonder how much trouble he got into after the conversation. When he then got together for the debrief, how do you think that went? I wonder how people reacted to him as he complimented Jesus. He is honest. The question is, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says nothing new. He quotes the Shema, which is the ancient Jewish prayer, and adds to it a quote from Leviticus, just for good measure. And there is a drawing together of relationships with others and relationships with God. Wouldn't it be great if it was just me and God, without all those pesky human beings getting in the way of my lovely, gentle walk with Jesus? Not how it is, says Jesus. To love God properly means we must love our neighbours. And quickly, let's remember who our neighbours are, according to Jesus, who goes on with the story of the man beaten and the outsider who comes to his aid, the Good Samaritan. That is who our neighbour is. That we all know the answer to that. But what about the reverse? What about the reverse? What about how we love our neighbour shapes the way that we love God? So drawing a tight circle around who is to be included and who is to be kicked out must surely have something to say about the way that we view God. And for some, even worse than that, it's how they believe God views them. So the final thing to say is what to describe learn. So love is more important than anything else. And the question we are left with is, are our lives matching that? Is the way that we are living our life matching what we say? Of course we fail, we drop the ball, but is our intention a loving one? Is what is coming out of our mouths, flowing from our hearts and minds, is it loving? Loving, not indulging. Not about making somebody's life easy. It's wanting the best for them. Doing what we can to build them up. And loving our neighbours in a world that says, must say no to consumption. Challenges the way that we live, that's loving them. Called to love beyond our narrow circle of family and friends. Jesus said that even the worst of people love them. Called to love people who are not like us, people that we don't know. Is the way that we are living doing that? And can we join the scribe who listened to Jesus to know that it's the thing that matters the most? So Israel, in the passage in Deuteronomy, is to love with an extravagant love. It's love that involves your conscience. It's a love that involves your essence. It's a love that involves your soul. It's a love that involves your might. To be a community orientated by moral choices, a community with ethical values, a community with full energy for life, that is what love looks like. A strong moral framework, ethics that are robust, and a passion for life. And the minute people take our eyes from God, things began to fail, and in time, they are lost. That was true then, it is true now. So, are we living by the highest moral standard? When was the last time we stopped and examined ourselves, our lives? To love God will mean that we expect something new of life and live with joy and expect that love will flow. So let us be still and then we will pray. Eternal God, as we journey together, help us to abide with one another, to come alongside each other as friends, Faith in us the courage to be vulnerable, to be open with each other, and to find our song and our strength in you. Faith in us the courage to leave behind anxiety and our need for certainty of what the future may hold, to let go of resentments of the past, and help us to live well with our losses. Birth in us a love that goes beyond the familiar. As your face replaces ours for those we serve, as we begin to recognize their own gifts, help us to find our own true beauty in you. Lord, we pray. Amen. So I don't think this hymn is very familiar. So I think what we'll do is, have we got the words? Hatton, could you play the verse first? And could you sit and fit the music to the tune? And then we will stand and we will sing it from the beginning.
Thank you.
with events of what is going on in Glasgow and Corona, I'm sure you know we have enough to pray about, so let us pray. As the leaders of the nation meet in Glasgow to agree goals to combat change, we pray that there would be a commitment by all countries to work together, to join forces with civil society, companies and people on the front line of climate change, to inspire and lead climate action. We pray for those who will meet in Glasgow, that they would have wisdom, a vision to treasure, protect, and love the world which you, O God, have created and which you have entrusted to our care. And however it is presented by the Majesty's government and however it is presented in our media, we know that coronavirus great cases continue to rise. And many are concerned about the impact of the virus on their lives, their mental health. And many are coming to the end of their resources. Lord, may the leaders of the nations take appropriate action to protect all people. We thank you for the vaccination program, for boosters, for health professionals, volunteers. We pray that this program would roll out all over the world. We pray for those who are stretched and stressed. Lord, we pray for peace. On this day, we pray for the people of Sudan, where the Sovereign Council that was overseeing the transition to democracy has been dissolved, and soldiers are in the capital. We pray for Afghanistan, where about half the population, nearly 23 million people, face acute food insecurity. 3 million children under five could suffer acute malnutrition. For them, Lord, we pray, for they are our neighbours. For our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. We pray for those who used to worship every day church. We pray for those who do worship at All Saints with St. John's, the Quakers, the Methodists, those who gather at Kingsgate, and all the other churches in our town. We pray for those who are frightened to express their faith. Lord, we recognize that some of us face mockery for being people of faith. Help us to build each other up and to seek to strengthen your kingdom among us. We pray for those for whom we have a particular concern on this day. Those that we love who are sick, worried, lonely. And for ourselves. God of love, may we love our world, love each other, love you, and may we know that we are loved by you. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we know that many in the church give their monies to the bank, and we also have available a machine for you to tap if you're going to tap it outside. But for those who want to give in cash, our offering will now be received. So our final hymn is Love Divine or Love's Excelling. And I'd like you all to stand up, please. Stand up. I'd like you to turn to the camera at the back. And I'd like you to give John and Maggie a wave. Well, this is Maggie's favourite tune. I don't know if it's John's favourite tune, but no, it's Maggie's favourite tune. Love Divine or Love's Excelling. More than my life's worth. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Say and sign the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore.